I certainly I don't have that luxury, Cam, but so thank you for that visual for me this morning. Cam mentioned about people calling in, and I'll just read a couple of greetings, if I can bring this up here, that I noticed came in before. I know we had a greeting from Nicholas and Judy before the church saying that they were getting ready, and it sounded like from the comments that they were having quite a leisurely morning around church today. Yep. Nicholas says Cam is witty and charming. Max says that people can adjust the volume at the bottom left. So just as we told you that you could turn it on, you can also turn it down if we've got it too loud. We figure it's better to have too much sound coming to your place that you can adjust rather than not enough. I have a lovely photo here from Pete, Kat and Becky, who are watching from home and enjoying being able to connect with the church family. They say blessings to you guys. Now, who's this one from? This is from Peter. Which Peter is it? We've got lots of Peters, so I'm not sure. Oh, okay. So this is Peter Brown, I think. I won't read that greeting out. There's a personal message here as well. But Peter Brown says hi. And then this one is from, hi, Peter and church. Gert and I are here. So hello, I, whoever you are. Oh, who goes with Gert? Oh, Linda. That's right. Good to know that you're watching too, and I know others are as well. So if you want to keep messaging in, we'll acknowledge you this morning. So I was thinking about, obviously, this issue and how everything has changed, and it feels like everything is upended. And yet the truth is that not everything is upended, because our life, we still need to find a way of going on with life. God hasn't changed. Our humanity hasn't changed. Our basic needs hasn't changed. The whole universe hasn't changed, but certainly our circumstances have changed big time. Somebody posted this on Facebook, and I thought this was rather lovely about that perspective. They said, going outdoors is not cancelled. Well, not quite. This was fairly early on. I saw this morning that 450 people were kicked off the beach at Bondi this morning. They've closed the beach down there. So it's almost cancelled if people can't separate. Listening to music isn't cancelled. Quality time with our family isn't cancelled. Reading a book isn't cancelled. Sharing with friends isn't cancelled. Though you have to be careful how you go about that. Singing out loud is not cancelled. Well, I didn't feel I could really do that this morning. Laughing has not been cancelled. Sharing hope with others has not been cancelled. So let's embrace what we have. I think that's a good perspective for us to have. But certainly all of these circumstances lead to some uncertainty. Certainly there are uncertainties around health and well-being, and that's really where this thing started. And I'm mindful today of all of those dear people in Italy who've lost family and friends, who haven't been able to be there at their bedside to farewell them. Some of them don't even know that their families have died. Others have been posting obituaries in the newspaper, but unable to go to funerals. How sad that is for those people. Lord, preserve us from that. But let our hearts and our prayers go out to those people as well today. But of course, the health and well-being issues feed into the business and financial issues, and we're seeing the playing out of that. And I know people, particularly in small business, are really stressed. Talking with some business owners during the week just in Little Croydon town about what they're facing. Notice the cinema in Croydon has closed down. Because they're not prepared, and understandably, to run an event with just one person in it, with all the costs and so on. But that's an indicator of the flow on of all of this kind of thing at a small scale. But of course, we're seeing it at a huge scale, and our government pumping more money into the economy this week to compensate for that. And then, of course, the uncertainty around what that means for church and even our outreach. We've been responding as best we can to the changing rules, and they've ramped up very quickly over the last week or so. But it raises questions about, well, who is the church when we can't meet together? Who is the church when we can't do ministry together? Who is the church when it's more difficult even to be with multiple non-Christians in a big space? They're very significant questions that we face and need to grapple with. It seems to me in the midst of this, we can have a fear or faith response. And I found this wonderful quote, which is comes from the Lord of the Rings, and there's this conversation between Frodo and Gandalf. And Frodo says, I wish it need not have happened in my time. So do I, said Gandalf. And so do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. that is to decide what times will come. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that's given us. And for me, that was very profound when I read this week, because I'm asking myself the question, what is my response? How do I respond in this situation? Now, let's be honest, fear is quite a natural response. And really, there are two kinds of fear. There's bad fear, fear that's unreasonable and destructive. Fear that variously paralyzes people or causes people to panic. Fear that causes people to shut themselves away from everybody and see no one and go into a bunker down mentality completely and not do anything. Or fear that panics people, makes them go and buy 20 trolley loads of toilet paper, for example. So we see some of that playing out in our world, and that's some of the fear that's bad in that kind of way, because it's destructive to us. But of course, there are elements of fear, says he, touching his face, which he should not do. There are elements of fear that are good for us. There's reasonable fear. There's protective fear. So, you know, there's a PowerPoint here. Fear says, I'm not going to put a fork in there and play with that because something bad will happen to me. So our fear can actually work for our good. And it's one of the things that God's built into us. So there is a reasonable fear to have. There are reasonable protections that we should take, and that's why we should be listening to our government and the health advice that we get, not listening to everything that's posted on Facebook. Somebody sent me a link to something today and I played it this morning, and I think, well, is that fake information or not? We need to be discerning at these times about that which we take notice of. So what is a faith response in this circumstance? Some churches have responded by saying, well, the blood of Jesus protects us from everything. We're not going to get this thing. I watched a video this week that somebody posted from Africa about a pastor telling his church that this sickness couldn't touch them. See, faith isn't believing that we won't face trouble. Jesus said, in the world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. In other words, you are going to face the things that everybody else faces. Anthony was asked a question last night. Do you think this is God's judgment on the world? Well, my question would be, if it's God's judgment on the world, how come Christians are getting this as well? So you need to think a bit more. We need to think a bit more broadly than these simplistic kind of solutions. But faith doesn't mean that we have to believe that nothing bad will happen to us. Faith is believing that God is with us whatever happens to us. And that's what Jesus was trying to articulate. Of course, it doesn't mean that we don't ask for help. Jesus said to us we should pray about our daily needs. He said the Father loves to listen to our prayers. And so it's not wrong to pray, Lord, protect me and my loved ones, my family, my neighbours, protect the whole world from this. There's nothing wrong with praying for that, and we should be doing that for sure. And in fact, we're in a season at the moment where the National Prayer Network has called for a time of national prayer and fasting. And maybe we might be in positions where we can't do a lot, but we could pray. Might be better than watching Netflix for an hour. You know, God has unlimited bandwidth when it comes to these things. Always a connection there. You won't get the dreaded grey sign on your computer when it comes to talking with God. So faith sure means asking God for protection. But it also means trusting him when things don't go our way. You know, the Apostle Paul, he wrote that he had a problem. We're not exactly sure what the problem was. He called it his thorn in the flesh, but it was some besetting problem that he had. And he said he asked God three times to take it away from him. And God said to him at each juncture, my grace is sufficient for you. God did not take that problem away, but God gave him the grace to live through that problem. And when we're in that situation, we learn to trust God despite what's happening to us. Now, I have to be honest, I'd prefer that bad things didn't happen. I'd prefer that bad things didn't happen to me, to you, or to the world. But they do. And in those moments, we find where our trust is, what it is that we're trusting in. You know, if we're trusting in our health and it gets taken away, what do we have? If we're trusting in our job and it gets taken away, what do we have? And so on. When we strip everything away, we discover where our trust really is. And real faith is trusting God when things don't go our way. And being willing to accept from God things that are different than we would choose. I find in this regard, Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane very instructive. Jesus is in the garden and he goes to God on a couple of occasions and says, please, I don't want to go through this. Right? Might be, if we translate it into our situation, please God, I don't want to go through this health situation. Please God, I don't want to go through this employment situation. Please God, I don't want to go through this relationship situation. And he went away, came back again, prayed again, and he reached this point of resolve where he said, nevertheless, not what I want, but what you want. And sometimes we have to understand, or we don't have to understand because it's almost not understandable, but sometimes there's a bigger picture at play that we can't see. You know, God's got a game plan. Cam talked about the football before, and the coach has the game plan, right? And the coach knows what he's trying to achieve. Not everybody else might not know that. Although, in human terms, a good coach will convey that to his players. But he understands the whole deal. Often we approach things from knowing what our part is, but we don't know what the whole deal is. And when it comes to issues of difficulty, we certainly do not know, often in advance, what God is doing, what God is up to. But part of faith means hanging on and saying, God, even though I can't see, even though I don't know, even though I'm uncertain, even though I'm afraid, even though I'm worried, still I will trust in you. Still I believe that you have the universe in control. Still I believe that you have my life in control. And I don't think faith means giving up either. Faith really means continuing to be the people of God, to minister to one another and a minister to the world, even though the way that we do that ministry might change. And I want to suggest some practical things. We can check in on one another by phone and messaging. You mightn't be able to go to somebody's house, but just a phone call. How are you doing? Just sort of see how you are. I've had a couple of those during this week from people here in this church. A text, thinking of you today, how are you? It invites people, well, one is it lets people know that somebody cares, but also invites them to share if they have some need. Because we want to be able to respond to those needs. One of the great things about the early church in Acts 2 was that they responded to people's need in a spontaneous kind of way. And for this to be good for us, that's what we need to do. We'll do some structured things, but as a community, we need to be responding. With that in mind, if there are any people who are listening and watching to this today, if you would like to be part of a team of people who once a week would ring those who are isolated, will you let us know by text or email or in the Facebook group? And that way we'll build a little list of who's isolated and who needs a call and make sure that people are linking up with them. So that's something structurally that we can do. And if you find yourself needing to be isolated, please let us know so that we can help you, so that we can arrange for that. I had communication with somebody this morning who's not self-isolating yet but may need to. And I said, well, as soon as you need something, they're in a good position, but as soon as you need something, you let us know so that we can respond to that. Use the church Facebook group as a way of encouraging one another. I had Linda share a story that she told me about there this week, because this is a good way that we can set up a little community space, a space where everybody sees and knows. And if you're not on the Facebook group and you're on Facebook, please ask to be on the Facebook group. I think we've got most people covered, but it's not always possible. But that's a great way to create a little traffic flow that people see what people are saying, verses that people have found encouraging, maybe poems or stories from elsewhere that people have found encouraging. Anything we can do to build one another up and to feel connected despite being separate. And I mean, I think that's the thing. You know, if you were to see, and I think Anthony's going to do a pan around of this in a little while for us on Facebook to show how we are here today, the 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of us who are here today, how we positioned ourselves relative to one another so that we're separate. But, you know, physical isolation ought not lead to social isolation, particularly in these days when we have telephones, internet, Facebook messaging, all those WhatsApp, all of those kinds of things. There's no reason for any of us to be socially isolated because we have those devices at our disposal. And then when we see a need, to respond practically to us. I know as a church, we're very good generally at responding practically. You know, if this goes on for a long time, this could get a bit tiresome. So we need to be ready for the long haul with that. And then when it comes to our external worlds, Anthony and I were talking about this morning, about who of our neighbours have family around and that kind of thing, and who don't. So who we might need to offer to help to first and that kind of thing. So offer to help your neighbours. This little thing, which will be up on the web after the service, because we're posting the recording and the PowerPoints on the web. This is a note that a friend of mine got from a little girl who's a neighbour, offering to help. Just a simple thing, just saying, "Hey, I'm here. If you need anything, let me know, because I'd love to help you." This is a child doing this. I know Linda's benefited from. Linda and Gert have benefited from one of their neighbours reaching out to them in this way. But let's be a neighbour to people in that kind of way. Let's offer to share our stuff. I got this from one of my neighbours during the week, who said, "I just fluked it for 24 rolls of 3-ply at Aldi." I'm guessing that's toilet paper. A 3-ply at Aldi. "If anyone is in need, I'm happy to share." Right? There's a spirit of sharing, a spirit of wanting to share my stuff so that others need not miss out. Quite different from what we see from some around the world. Of course, we need to protect our community by following the advised health protocols, which is why we're doing what we're doing today, and we're not all on the beach huddled up together like some people were at Bondi yesterday. But also importantly, when we have opportunity to testify to people about how God is helping you to deal with the uncertainty that you face, I think that's something, an area where we can make a real contribution. I remember a number of years ago when I was going through a time of struggle, and I had a close relationship with one of my then neighbours, and he knew what was going on, and he said to me, "How is your faith helping you?" Right? So if your faith is helping you, as it should be, when you're talking with people and they express fear, maybe you say, "Well, I feel a lot like you do, but I'm finding as I pray, as I talk to God about that, he eases that, he gives me calm." Whatever it is, how that works for you. If you share that story, it becomes part of your witness to those people. You know, this could be a real time when, you know, this could go either way. When trouble comes, people either go, "Oh, there's no God because he did this," right? "There's no God because he did that." I like that. That analogy, we know there's no God because he did these terrible things. There's something not quite right there. Or, "Wow, I really need God at this time." And let's pray for the latter, not the former. And let's be part of bringing that about by the testimony that we share with people. I don't know whether I can read this. I've got this in a bad colour on the screen. I'm sorry about that. This is the story of comes from the 3rd century. It was recorded by the historian Eusebius. It was Bishop Dionysius of Alexandria, and he wrote about how the Christians behaved in response to, they had two terrible plagues in quick succession, and he talked about how the Christians behaved in that time. He says, "Most of our brethren were unsparing in their exceeding love and brotherly kindness. They held fast to each other and visited the sick fearlessly, and ministered to them continually, serving them in Christ. And they died with them most joyfully, taking the affliction of others and drawing the sickness from their neighbour to themselves, and willingly receiving their pains. And many who cared for the sick and gave strength to others died themselves, having transferred to themselves their death." Wow. How powerful is that? Now, I'm not advocating that you die, but this is saying, you know, even when things were tough, these early Christians were not giving up on loving others. And really, that's the space that we need to be in. We must not let fear grip us in such a way that it paralyzes us from being the people of God to the people around us. Can we do this? Are we capable of doing this? Yes, I believe that we are. We're capable of this in the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, depending on the Spirit daily. Lord, help me to do this. I don't have the strength, Lord. Lord, help me. Let me read to you these words. It's called the breastplate of St. Patrick. I rise today through the strength of heaven. Light of the sun, splendor of fire, swiftness of wind, depth of the sea, stability of earth, firmness of rock. I rise today through God's strength to pilot me, God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's hand to guard me. Afar and anear, alone and in the multitude. Christ, shield me today against wounding. Christ be with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in me. I rise today through the mighty strength of the Lord of creation. We have this hope, Ian, an anchor for our soul. Let's be reminded of that. Let's put our hope and our faith and our focus in the right place. And then this lovely, lovely prayer. I actually picked this version up this week. Somebody posted it, but Anne Wiggins kindly sent me this. Thanks, Anne. So here's a prayer. May we who are merely inconvenienced remember those whose lives are at stake. May we who have no risk factors remember those most vulnerable. May we who have the luxury of working from home remember those who must choose between preserving their health and paying their rent. May we who have the flexibility to care for our children when schools close remember those who have no options. May we who have to cancel our trips remember those who have no safe place to go. May we who are losing our rainy day money in the tumult of economic market remember those who have no rainy day money at all. May we who settle in for a quarantine at home remember those who have no home at all. As fear grips our country, let us choose faith, hope, and love. During this time when we cannot physically wrap our arms around each other, let us find ways to be the loving embrace of God to our neighbours. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you richly this week. Sorry, I'll just pause that for 1 second. Can we do that, Locke? I forgot I had that at the very end of my presentation. We'll play that at the very end once we finish. So God bless you wherever you are this week and in whatever you're doing. I want to ask Anthea in a moment whether there are any more greetings. I've had one come in on my phone here. It's from Roger and Rainey. Hi, church. We're enjoying the service. We send love and prayers to all. And Putty, that's the cat for those who don't know. Putty is enjoying the service. I hope Putty's wearing her mask. But anyway, well done, everybody, Roger and Rainey. Anthea, did you get any more messages through on my...
A lot of people have checked in,
so we won't mention your one. You've got some there, Cam?
Just a couple of, more of those check-ins. There was another one where...
Maybe you come here where we can see you a bit better. I'll walk away.
So another one where Carrie has been sharing some of her Bible study notes, and I think that's a great habit for us to get into as well. So thank you, Carrie. Another way that we can be continuing to bless each other in that sense. And we've obviously got the live Facebook up here now, and we can go visit that again after this as well. So something I did want to have as an encouragement, you might have had this as well, Pete, so sorry if I steal your thunder.
No problem.
But this is something that is actually a bit of a tool that we can actually use as an outreach compared to more than what we'd used to be able to. There is going to be people that are in quarantine. And there's going to be people that are at home and in front of their laptop or TV or the like.
Yes.
And we can even share what this link is, being our church webpage, the Facebook live videos. And it's another way that we can keep connecting. So I pray for everyone at home can feel empowered in that sense and still have that strength of connection.
Yes.
So thank you.
Thank you, Ken. That's good. You know, there's no question that it is... it's a difficult time, it's a time of difficulty, but also it's a time of opportunity. And if we'll think of those creative ways of being the people of God, that's really terrific. I know lots of churches are doing this, so we can see a tremendous cumulative effect of this. Judy Petrini says, amen to that, Peter. It's good to get an amen, Judy. I really appreciate it. Thanks for the encouragement of today's service. So I'm going to lead us in a prayer together and commit ourselves to God in the things that we've been talking about. And then after that, we're going to replay that song just as a conclusion of the service, just to encourage us that we had at the start. And then we'll go off live streaming. Anthony's been doing it on Facebook Live as well, so we'll see how that goes as well. We'll save that there so it can be looked at later as well. Dear Lord, we thank you that we've been able to gather in many places today to remember you. We thank you that you are our focus, that Christ is our hope, that Christ is our strength, that Christ is our life. And we thank you that whatever happens to us, nothing can ever separate us from the love of God that we experience in Jesus Christ. You are always with us by your Holy Spirit. And we pray that you'd help us to trust you in the Holy Spirit every day for the things that we face. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to have the right kind of faith in this, the kind of faith that takes reasonable precautions, that does what we can do to stay healthy, but also the kind of faith that trusts you, that follows you, and doesn't give up on being the people of God. We pray that you'd help us to see not just difficulty, but opportunity. Thank you that we can gather in our homes today, separate but together, physically separated, but one together in you. And we praise you so much for that. Lord, we pray also for Ron Guskett, who is having major surgery this coming week. And I know that Ron is in the at-risk category in a number of ways. So I pray that he and Lorraine, together with their family, would really experience your grace and your provision for them. And Lord, thank you that Cam has recovered from his man flu. And from Judy's message here, it appears like Nicholas has got one of those as well. We pray that it will not develop into something else. We pray your hand upon him and all who find themselves in a similar circumstance. Thank you, Lord, that you never leave us, that you never forsake us. We thank you that if God is for us, no one can be against us. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's hit that song, Lock. God bless you. Have a great week, Anthony. If you just want to pan around with your